miembro y crecí at least on time to give a tickets to look into the body. The expected time
go to his office. Go to his office.
He usually closes the door when he's in the office. I don't know, I see you come here often, so you probably know.
All the doors there are closed. Send him an email.
Why?
Asking.
You know, I just want to know today, because I know tomorrow I'm not going to be in, and I can't.
Email him now. He may respond in the next hour. Like, can I put the top in? I'm in the faculty.
What if I'm no longer on campus?
And then if you respond,
I'm not like 2 times, but like 2 very close, but
Not
really soft. So I'm not sure if
it's for your own good.
I know, but
is it there?
I don't think so. And the that lady who came to the beginning, I
Who?
The one that...
Cheryl.
Is that Cheryl?
Who's got a white shirt? The one who was taking a picture?
Yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
Is that Cheryl? So I asked her, I'm like, do you think he went out? Or do you think he's in his office? And then she's like, oh, can't you see I'm busy? Can you not wait for me to give you some attention?
Why?
I'm like,
do you know what she did? When my assignment was late, I sent it to her. She's like, sorry, I can't accept it. I sent it to Lisa and copied her, and Lisa took it. And I sent her the email. I'm like, Lisa said I can send it late. I attached that email. She's like, no.
Isn't she like the admin? She is, right?
People from the environmental law department, they get block lectures from 8 to 5 p.m.
Daily.
Oh, no, it's 2 weeks block lectures every term. So it's term 1, 2 weeks, term 2, 2.
I think that's nice though, because you do it and it's over.
Do you know how many of us were sleeping in? We just had to take a quick nap because it's no stress.
It's like you can't do this.
I always mentioned that, like, the day before, like, now, the first block lecture, so we're doing it in Constantia.
Nice.
I know. Like, we rented this venue. So the professor actually lived like 5 minutes away from the place. And so on the last day, not the day before, he invited us at his home. For that drinks, snacks.
That's nice.
And we're just chilling and it was just that was so fun. I think that's just
that's nice.
7 there. So. But he doesn't like to be called professor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, call it Shelly.
What?
Yeah.
That's very Shelly European.
Nickname.
That's very European.
That's what I realized that, you know, okay, environment needs to be taken care of, but there isn't much that I would do.
Okay, I'm trying to see if there's someone I know here.
The world will end anyway. So we die anyway.
No, but no, no, I feel like...
Look, there is nothing we can do.
No, I feel like even if...
We can be late.
Wait,
wait.
We're
supposed to come.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that let's not end it before it ends by our actions. Let's let it end by means of whatever made it end. Let's not fast track it. You don't agree?
I don't agree.
I'm like, let's not rush it. Like...
It's not gonna happen anyway.
Yes, but it could happen 50 years later. And so I'm like, let's not make it worse. Let's let the laws of nature take part.
So, make the whole population understand that.
But yeah. I feel like Africa doesn't have issues with the environment. It now...
Oh, you do.
Hmm?
You do. Especially mining.
Okay. Okay. But it's even like on the CFCs, it's like just under 4% globally.
Yeah.
This continent that's got most population after Asia.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's really not our problem. We have other problems.
Okay. Well, then... It's really not our problem because we're not like the big person.
Yeah.
But then again, when we're talking about change, it's a global thing.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. But then it's very interesting. But then I realized that I couldn't give more of
that. It's a white people's discipline that
like I couldn't give two fucks, you know. Where is that? Am I God? Do I God? No, thank you. Let me go back to finance and money. At least that we only end when the world ends. Oh God. Please show me where to find habitual oral. So I'll just move on from this topic.
You're asking God to show you? I feel it's a valid request. He could, or she, I don't know if it's a she or he.
Let me try and remember your question. But then, if I live here, but can you actually like show me where to find it? It seems like showing me a part of the answer. I mean, no.
Just, if he doesn't, he doesn't. But if he does, great for you. Just send him an email. Ridgefield.
Yo, do you know what Instagram is doing now? If you have not replied to your messages, they'll pin it.
Yes, I like that because I'm bad with that.
They'll pin it and they'll ask you. Well, you have not replied to the person. And try now. What if I'm terrible? Mind your business.
Mind your business, please.
I'm just suffocating me on my own phone. Imagine that. This is even so peaceful. Salmon toast ever. I'll go back there soon just to add it again. With banging. This at Sonia and Hyrule.
Who is that?
Looks good.
Oh, looks good.
You're only rest after the 7. And it also has to be decent. Okay. 2016 is not that far, is it?
I don't think it's that far. In my mind, it's not. It was 7 years ago.
I got on my check in 2016.
How old are you?
I'm 23. I'm the baby everywhere I go.
Yes.
I know that. So that's not like a big deal.
2016. It wasn't far. I don't think it was far.
It's okay. Majority of my friends are already 2 years older than me, or 4 years. So,
you the last one?
Yes. I'm the fourth one.
How many are you?
Six.
I thought you were gonna say five. No, how old are the last two?
The last one is 18.
Okay. Okay.
So we all grown up.
Teenager, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they this side or at home? They this side or
they're home.
Back home. Okay.
They're home. The last one just got his matric, and it will be training next year.
Okay. When does the year end in DRC? In September?
Yeah. Oh. July.
Oh, like the...
Start in September and in July.
Oh, so you guys are on the, like, Western calendar.
Mm-hmm. That is why I can't date people my age.
Why?
I felt anger on them. You know what I'm saying? My friends are 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
You get me? So I'm just like, I've never dated someone my age. Let me start there.
Just as a start.
Just as a start. And I've never been attracted to someone.
To your age mate.
To my age mate. Some of my age men would be like, oh, Priscilla, I like you so much.
Like, go away. Get away.
How? Don't ever say that in public again. It has to be in our work. What's that? Corruption and discovery. I'm gonna be on the beach until 5. If I don't find something, I'm gonna be on the beach. Okay, I have one day now.
What's the date?
We must have it on the 21st.
Just before midnight.
Just before midnight. Yeah. 5 minutes before midnight.
Is it not 1 minute?
Five. It's 11:55.
Oh.
Hold on. It's not 19:59.
I'm just checking the line.
Shut the ding dong. 59. I don't know, maybe you have class here.
Yeah, I'm
class
here. Oh, okay.
Do you have class here?
Yes.
What time?
Two.
Okay.
What class do you have?
Sorry?
What class do you have?
I don't get you.
What class, which subject?
What do you have at two here?
I have a presentation here.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna move, like, I told you.
I was confused.
No, you are right. We are still here.
Okay, alright,
sure. Alright. Like, oh, this is on the top. I think we can sit outside, yes. Yeah? What presentation do you have?
China law.
Oh, and investment in Africa.
Oh, you did Chinese law?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that means I'll see some of my classmates from,
yeah,
from commercial
transactions.
Transaction.
Commercial transactions.
Yeah. I think let's hang around.
No.
Oh, you guys have a presentation! Yes!
Oh, I want to see that.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm sure our other classmates wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
they're not
us. Okay, most of us presented last Monday. So, there's only two groups that presented today.
Oh, who is in your group? Maybe I know some.
You know, is it Imperial or Imperial?
Imperial.
Yes.
Oh, Imperial, I
know Imperial.
Oh,
from commercial transactions.
We are in the same group in commercial transactions.
Oh, okay. So, to be presented today. I'm in the same group with her as well.
Oh, is it only the two of you?
No, we are
group
of five.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely staying.
And then each person has a role to play. Like, you all have each topic for each person.
Is it, like, interesting?
Yeah, it's about Chinese, like, how they are working and other stuff. What do you want to implement, like, who is the design, what do you want to do? Yeah, initiative.
You guys want us to stay? Can we stay?
Oh, you don't stay.
So we have assignments on our back.
Girl, I'm working whilst I'm here.
Is this school? Is that schoolwork?
Yes.
Isn't it?
I'm working on my research task.
Oh, I thought it was your...
Oh, I'm recording that. So I need to get an audio recording of it. So I'm recording it whilst working.
You guys are doing the same course.
How far is your battery?
Hmm?
How far is your battery?
Can I check on your phone?
Yeah. Let me show you my dad. How do you think he looks like?
I don't know. How do you go?
Like a hybrid.
Sorry?
It's hybrid, so most of them will be online.
Oh.
I think most people who presented last Monday was...
They're not even going to show up.
Okay.
You have the option to come or not. I wish we had that option. I wouldn't even said
no, but then when you have that option, you can't, if you're presenting, you have to be there.
Oh, yeah. But then if
but unless not, maybe your group member choose to present everything for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that our own is split, so mm-hmm. you have to present on your own. But there are some groups that I think one person presented everything. And then they were all
never.
Which was nice.
Why?
Why what?
I'm the only one presenting for everybody.
But in the group, that's how it's supposed to be.
It's just true, yeah.
That's him.
He has rocks.
He does.
Yeah, it looks like he's having these rocks.
Hmm? He's had them for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what he said to me.
Do you want to charge your phone?
Okay. Thank you.
But you don't have a USB. Do you have a USB?
Yeah, I do. Thank you.
Okay. No,
as long as you have money. Oh, I don't have issues with this stress
love.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't like stress love.
I really like it. It's not for me to like.
What? What of me? I mean,
I really don't care about looks. Eh?
You lying. You're really into personality and vibe.
I'm into people that have power attraction, money, and just like if you are a really kind person, like if you're not kind, I can't like.
Money first, money second.
One, two.
Just in case you missed the first one then.
Again.
Serve it back up. And look, I don't know, I'm okay. Really, one thing about me is just like, that's why it is very difficult for me to like find a man actually attractive because I'm very big on looks. If you do not have that clean look, I really don't care.
Could not be bothered.
Like, I've talked to guys that I was not really attracted to them, but personality. Whereas, like, fuck off, because come on now. Mm-hmm. I love to be like, dead.
For me, it's like, the moment you exude power, I can be like, that's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how you look.
Yeah, I see how attractive power could be.
Okay, you see it does this sometimes, this please charge it for you on your own.
That's what I was thinking.
It will.
And also my family, they divorced me. How many siblings do you have?
It's 5 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the fifth one.
You're the first?
Fifth.
Oh, the fifth. Oh, the last one. You're the baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm the baby of the family. I've got 5 siblings. I've 4 siblings. Work.
I didn't get to. I don't. No, think. Listen to me.
I'm listening, my darling.
I said I found material, guys.
Mm-hmm.
On, like, which way I want to go with this corruption and bribery in international arbitration, right? Now, I obviously have to back my argument with of God and God's judgment, which I don't even know how to find. I don't know.
So how far had you gone with how far had you gone with
what?
With the COVID one?
I also have all my materials just need to tag.
So how about you start typing? You such a make me feel bad when you're in classes that time.
Okay, you know, you see, if I get home, I get on this Tuesday. I've done 24 exams longer than this. So I'm good.
We all have, we've even done 48 hours.
Yeah, I know. Longer than this. I'm cool. But I wanna, so I'm thinking of learning more to this because it's interesting. And I like it when I do an assignment, then I'll forever remember it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you can grow from it. Mm. You see, I'm not too bad. You make me feel like I'm...
So if I do this thing, I will always have something to say about the corruption and international arbitration. Whereas COVID, I could just Google it and then I'll read the 5-minute article and it will tell me everything I need to know. You hear me? I know I'm lazy, but I'm not that lazy.
You see? Like, I'm lazy, but with a tinge of excellence.
Yeah.
You know what I was telling myself? I'm like, this next 3 weeks, if you could just give it. I'm like, you go far, my girl. They're in love.
Oh, no, are you?
They're in love.
Wow. No, wow. You know, I know, but I'm supporting your new resolution.
Just 3 weeks.
I'm supporting. Who is your professor? Sorry?
Professor
Adam.
Adam.
Prof. Adam.
Adam.
Oh, is it your professor? Okay.
I think she's the main convener, but then she's not the one who
does that. Oh, okay. So
we have two. So she's the main.
Uh-huh.
And then she doesn't
teach us. She came
to teach
us
other
lecture. Oh, okay.
Okay, other lecture.
Okay.
Are you not South African? No, I'm from Ghana.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were Zambian.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I gave her the Congolese.
Yes, I thought Zambian or Congolese.
Mm-hmm. Zambians and Congolese.
Oh, Zambian or Congolese.
Oh, okay. I'm from Ghana.
I almost said something offensive. I was going to be like, Ghanaian fried rice is better than Nigerian, but they are jollof.
But fried rice.
I'm saying.
Fried rice and jollof rice is. So
yeah, so I'm saying Ghanaian fried rice.
So.
Wait, guys, I'm
you
saying.
Yourself, you know it's not it's
guys, I'm saying Ghanaian fried rice is number one,
yes.
But jollof,
uh-huh.
Nigerian jollof is better.
No. That's not who said no.
I have.
Are you also obsessed with boiled egg?
Yes.
We all eat boiled egg.
Yeah, I have a Ghanaian eggs, and I had all the food. I was like, fried rice is. But jollof is still
maybe
Nigerian.
Maybe the jollof, maybe you eat the rice jollof. You are from here.
South Africa, yeah.
So maybe you like Nigerian jollof because they use the same rice as we got. But our rice is different from Nigeria and
South Africa. Girl, I think I tasted the real thing.
You do eat the rice jollof, right?
I mean, what are you expecting? She obviously...
That's why I'm like, I almost said something offensive. I know this is always, people take offense.
No.
Give your hands. And here we are. Why would they keep us out? Me, I want to figure that out when I'm busy. Me.
Do you want to figure that out?
Like, me.
I mean, you figure that out at some point.
Don't include me in this.
Als ich den Artikel gefunden habe, was hätte sich angeboten?
Wo ist Tristan eigentlich?
Why do you want to cry? Do you feel like you're not getting anywhere? So, just search and keep searching. Remember that clause for commercial transactions? It was difficult to find it, but we ended up so I feel like it's the same thing. So just keep on keeping on and go on links and links.
No, that's close. I was this close from not even doing that assignment.
Thank you. No, I'm not going. Yes. It was an error. Oh. Yeah. Tell me, when is the research task here? The commercial transaction?
Here.
No commercial transaction.
That's past the silver. Commercial transaction last Friday.
The research
task? Yeah.
Was it still Friday? I thought it was actually Friday. Yeah, no, I really thought it was, honestly.
I think Friday is a course.
No, I mean, it's late, it's late now, huh? They change the date.
I'm not for it. I don't know. That's one
which never changed. That's on the
reason. I actually thought it was June. It was Friday. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You see, I knew those everything was staying here. It was to find those out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see you, I thought you were.
Every time you see this, with this line here, that person was that
was asking him that the time clock is big. And if he add a line about this, about a person, what is it, what's about me? So that's like how many characters? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characters that you can't forget if you need to try it. So every time you see two lines, it means like two or something, followed by something. A person is always like some letters to do with a person. And you have to have to teach one more. If you see a square like this, what does it mean? It's a mouth. It's a mouth. And if you see three mouths, it means a lot of things. So if you see a sign for not a restaurant, a supermarket, like too many things to eat, like things, too many mouths to feed, but then you always see this when you're looking for a supermarket. You should know this. How do you eat? And they're like, I have that photo, that picture, and that picture.
Very interesting, but I never knew what I did.
Yeah. So like I order this line and that line and that line. Yeah. But I don't know if people go to China because the scale of restaurant, they just go to McDonald's and then after 9 months they get sick and then they get
forced. Never went to McDonald's.
Okay. So anyway, so we've got a last class Friday, the last workshop. When is the event due? Just an extra hour. Or do you want to miss the workshop? That you guys want to opt out of it?
Not the whole workshop, but that's why I was asking how long it would take.
It's 3 hours. How many people want to opt out of it? So should we... That means we won't be having... I think we delivered the pizza after class. So we opt out of that also. So you want to attend for 2 hours?
That doesn't make sense.
It's your call. I'll just let him know that there are three people that might not be able to stay as well.
Okay. We'll speak about it in the break. And
yeah, and then let me know. Yeah. So we've got the result for Pola. Some people are doing really well, some people are not so good. I don't know if you guys want to probably share the result.
I was in the group for now, but if there's like more people down the field,
she's leading the team, so she's a she's every time she writes something, it pushes suppresses your score down. That's how this forum works. It's outrageous, so she's like leading the scores right now. But this course I was not because I was told to forum next week by late, and pretty much the easiest one. You can still write some stuff, but I don't know, now you guys have an exam, but the intention was to show that you have to write more on the exam. It's really easy, math, guys. It's class participation, math, but it's a significant range. And John has been reading, we've been reading everything that you're writing. But also, we're closing as we can give. We're able to give you feedback. So today we've got two lectures. And also, what should we register? Because we're serving lunch. Please indicate what kind of pizza you want. On the thing so that you can do the right order. So you can start to just, it's so good to be able to take a couple of marks. Any other questions with the exams, the tutorial? Yeah, all good. So this is, the Monday tutorial is online only. So
it's also optional. Because we took an hour out of your time and for the workshop. So if you want to, he's gonna be presenting, so I'm gonna present the whole thing. So. Yeah, on Monday. And his group, I didn't tell you that. So I'm gonna do the whole website on the tutorial. He's making up for the opportunity that he didn't have to show up himself. So you're welcome to just come sit in, and Don will give you a feedback. But you don't have homework. You don't have to do anything for the tutorial. I find it's a good practice for the exam because it's basically in the format of the exam. It's just simple, you know, what to expect. But if you want to write and submit, we'll still look at it. We'll review, we'll still give you feedback. Does that make sense?
Today is the second term final in Lawmaker. We have to listen to it again, but it's different aspects, so maybe we get something new. Well, Monday we've heard something about history and general aspects and how China wants to become the new lawmaker. Today we will first give you some background regarding the question why China wants to become the new lawmaker, and which objectives China is pursuing by doing so. In the next step, we will then present China's plan with regard to the internet governance, which we also heard of Monday. There are some hints as to what China plans, which can be found in the five-year plan, as well as the China Standards 2025 and the China Standards 2035 plan. Afterwards, we will try to establish how China is trying to receive these aims and how they can become the new lawmaker. So this we will do by having a quick view on the FOCAC Dakar Action Plan as well as the BRR initiative. So first of all, why does China want to become the new lawmaker? Well, because it's not inconvenient. They discovered that third-class companies make products, second-class companies develop technology, and first-class companies have standards. So they want to become first-class companies only, because control of industrial norms means position to dominate. So that's their plan, or at least that's what people think is China's plan. And then China pursues several objectives by a rigorous approach. So the first one is to strengthen the research and development in critical areas such as 5G, Internet of Things, and certain other technology areas. China also wants to shape the future direction of tech development, so they want to become a leader within this field. And they also aim at greater presence and standard setting bodies, what we heard Monday as well. So they hope that they can give their companies an advantage by doing so, bringing them forward. So the first document, which might give some insight or hints on China's plan, is the five-year plan, actually the 14th five-year plan for the National Economic and Social Development of the PRC. And with regard to what we call the religious internet governance, they say, or they highlight that their plan is to stipulate the value added of digital economy businesses to its GDP to 10% by 2025, which is not that far away. And then also within the regard within areas of cloud computing, big data, internet, and blockchain, several other technology areas, they want to support that and to bring it further forward. Also, their plan is to expand the research and development, as stated earlier, for the objectives. They want to increase it by more than 7% annually. Another thing is that they want to establish national laboratories with a focus on certain things like quantum information, also all things with relation to technology, new technology.
With regards to the second strategy, the Made in China 2025 strategy, it is an industry policy that seeks to make China dominant in global high-tech manufacturing. It was introduced in 2015 as the government's 10-year plan to update China's manufacturing base by rapidly developing the 10 high-tech industries. And manufacturing is the main pillar of a nation, of a national economy, and it's the foundation of a country. This is why China is so focused on this. It is also a tool of transformation and basis of propensity since the beginning of the industrial civilization. Building internationally and competitive manufacturing is the only way China can enhance its strength, protect the state, and also become the world power, which is the main goal. There are certain goals behind the creation of this Made in China strategy, and it was aimed at increasing the quantity of Chinese-owned intellectual property. It also meant to create new domestic standardization in regard to research institutes and certification centers and more than 50 standard innovation bases. It is also aimed at establishing new prices and subsidies to encourage Chinese researchers and companies to cooperate in developing new China-based standards. There are certain steps that China developed to achieve this goal, and they mostly include like its main goal of industrialization and mastering core technologies and all that. With regard to this Made in China 2025 strategy, there are certain concerns that made China end up developing the next their next plan, which is the China Standards 2035 plan, which Kristen will be presenting about. And this conference includes like theft of intellectual property, where China obliges foreign companies that work on its territory. They encourage other companies to work on joint ventures with local firms and to transfer their technological know-how. There are also certain responses from other countries and concerns that have been raised, especially by the European countries and the US. I think there are some concerns that Christine will also talk about in regard to all the plans that have been made so far. This China Standard 2035 plan was launched in 2018, and it was not meant to actually replace the Made in China 2025 plan. It was meant to complement it. And it's thought to establish China's lead in areas such as autonomous systems, batteries, solar cells, and other green technologies. And the China Standards 2035 plan, like the Made in China strategy, is aimed at formulating and implementing standardization strategies and to carry out standardization strategy research and to formulate action program China Standards 2035. So I think Kristen can take a look at that and lead us to things. Thank you.
So in 2018, the Chinese government unveiled the China Standards 2035 initiative, a leading tech company to set global standards for emerging technologies such as 5G, Internet of Things, artificial intelligence. So the benefits, they want to ensure that technology, they want to ensure that the technology complies with the global standardization. that's a technology that they will use in the Chinese industry, from manufacturing to agriculture, with a lot of lines on the global scale. So economic gain, that's the line and royalty through a mistake. They'll make more money due to the fact that they can sell to other countries before a business or a country wants to use their technology to pay or pay commission. Technical efficiency will also ensure that work processes high quality to prevent waste or make the most use of available resources to support the innovation agenda. When China performs well, other businesses outside China will gain an advantage, since they can learn or take and continue from China, because majority of the businesses import from China to obtain more income for their manufacturing business. Thus, the China economy grows in line with the supply of other businesses. According to China Standard 2035, the plan is to give domestic Chinese companies the power to perform standard settings concerning technology innovation, which this will enable companies to receive licensing for royalty, which will increase China economy. Going to receive royalty through patents, in order to use that technology, you will have to pay. So the concerns, like for instance, it has been noticed over the years that each technology company sometimes use that data. And so since China will be in charge of the standard setting for innovative technology, which may automatically make them gain some level of ownership. When the plan goes through, there will be negative impact for the rest of the country, like America and Europe. It will really affect them because people will want to buy from China and more will stop buying from other countries like the US. So the Chinese major competitor is USA, which will make them financial blow on their economy when China 2035 plus comes back.
One key aspect of the Chinese lawmaking in the world is South Africa. And here we can look at the PROCAC Forum, which is like the leading forum for Chinese and African cooperation. And here we can see that China and Africa have agreed very general rules and not very specific plans. But of course we found some ideas of how they want to make the law. So when we look at the PROCAC Dakar Action Plan, we can see that China and Africa want in general accept the international framework for cooperation, for example, the UN. But it can also be seen as one example that China is not really accepting the international framework, because during the COVID crisis, they have not really cooperated with the WHO, for example. The second point is that China and Africa agreed to strengthen the cooperation in the existing international institutions. And here we can, of course, talk about the question if this is lawmaking or if it's just participating in the international institutions. But also when we look at one example, which is the UN report about Xinjiang, we can see that the UK and the US have labeled it as a genocide, while a lot of Muslim countries and also some African Muslim countries reacted to it with the statement that countries should stop interfering in Chinese affairs. So here we can see that China has a big impact to African countries. And the last point is the most important point, which is leading our presentation, and it's the cooperation in new fields of laws. And in general, China and Africa agreed in the FOCAC Forum that they want to support each other in international affairs. And regarding to new technologies, they also agreed that they want to cooperate in their ITU, which is the cooperate with other UN institutions. But these points are very interesting because in this institution, the state sets standards about new technology. And one interesting technology is the 5G technology, which is mostly used in Africa by Huawei, which is a Chinese company. And here we can see that China and Africa agree that they want to carry out strategic consultations on ICT policies and development. So it's not just the existing international framework, but they also want to develop new ICT policies in this field. And this is very interesting to one point. This point is cybersecurity, which is like very important point for domestic protection. And here China and Africa agreed that they want to create a community with shared future and with a shared future in cyberspace, which was put forward by China. And here we can see that China wants to play a dominant role in Africa and in the world in cybersecurity. And this is like on the way, one way it is good for Africa because it's better to have cybersecurity which is led by China than to have no cybersecurity. But we can also see that China is not doing very well in this relationship. And we have an example from 2018. And here China, there was a cyber attack on the headquarters of the African Union in Addis Abeba. And it's supposed that China is standing behind this attack. So it's still a danger to have just one cooperation partner in cybersecurity, and not even the European country has one common cybersecurity room, also that European national states can have their cybersecurity room by themselves. And at least we can see that China wants to set the standards in Africa, especially in the digital room. And yes, they want to cooperate in the field of standardization. And one interesting example is here also Kenya, which is like the leading country in Africa regarding to ICT. And this was mostly built by Chinese companies and especially Huawei. And we can see that the dependence from Huawei and from China is very big for Kenya because data sovereignty is very important and there are many things who are combined with this point. And we thought about how we can solve this problem, but it's not easy because our solution was that Kenya or in general African states must adopt their own national security law regarding to internet law. But on the other side, we can see in many examples, like the last one, that China is doing a lot in improving African digital law. So the African law is mainly created with Chinese expertise, but on the other side, the aim is to defend Africa and cyber rules from Chinese influence. So there might be a way of that they are different.
Going to talk about how the digital Silk Road is connected to the standard setting in Africa. And as Benny already mentioned, in the beginning it's like a very famous quote in China that whoever has control of industrial norms for telecommunications, electricity, transmission and artificial intelligence is going to business dominate. And the digital Silk Road is part of the Belt and Road Initiative in which China funds the expansion of the infrastructure projects in developing nations, such as internet and mobile phone technology. And in return, the Belt and Road Initiative agreed to interoperability and data sharing agreements with China. And with the numbers of partner countries involved in the Belt and Road Initiative, China wants to set digital standards and have impact globally, and they kind of want to shift the balance from Western giants to China, or to China, Chinese companies. So the question is, what role do industrial norms and standards play in this context, and economic, the next wave of economic prosperity is happening in the digital space through advances in telecommunications, data mining, artificial intelligence, and the Internet of Things, as the group already mentioned. It's like very important that those technologies, like how they interact with each other, and the rules that like certain stakeholders have to follow, and that is usually determined by international standard setting bodies. One example is the International Electrotechnical Commission. And in the past, usually top-tier corporations from the West have dominated the standard setting bodies, and they kind of force the globe to adopt their technologies and license their patents. And China now wishes to expand the economic potential of Chinese tech companies in the international market, and they are like working on gaining influence in those international standard setting bodies. And now China is using the Digital Silk Road as part of the Belt and Road Initiative to sell Chinese technology to foreign states and to gain market share and to like enhance their position in international standard setting bodies. And that's why China has set out like a strategy that consists of five pillars. So firstly, they want to actively putting forward proposals for international standards. Second, they are promoting the establishment of new technical communities within those standard setting organizations. Third, they have introduced the China standard mutual recognition working procedure to find more standard cooperation agreements with other countries that wish to do business with China. And fourth, they are encouraging Chinese institutions and enterprises to participate more actively in international standard setting organizations. For example, Huawei is an example because they are a leader in 5G patents. And yeah, their standards are kind of adopted globally. But also, China is listing domestic standards as preconditions when they make contracts and carry out foreign programs. And there are like several authors and that identify like certain risks when it comes to the Chinese leadership role in standard setting. Many of them believe that the Digital Silk Road has like geopolitical implications, and because the standard setting kind of because the DSR builds like the backbone communication infrastructure. DRI countries will allow the PRC to analyze, access, and exploit data sets of participating countries, and through the technologies and tech companies, China might support its governance model, its surveillance system, and its financial institutions. But also policy elites in recipient countries could become vulnerable to that influence. And the PRC could also use the centralization of the data, for example, in smart port systems, to create like a sanction system by slowing down economies that work digitally, for example, when it comes to container traffic. But there are also other people that say that it's not that bad and that risks are kind of kept within limits, because China didn't have as much influence as was expected initially, and the representation of China influence as a standard setting body is still outweighed by the West. And also, like, there are a lot of countries, for example, in Germany, I think Huawei is partly banned of the 5G technology thing, and that's why people in Germany don't have that much influence. But I would say that in Africa, where maybe some countries are more dependent on the Chinese technology, they might be a bigger problem. So that was all the business. Thank you for your attention. Okay.
second question. You mentioned to me that what are your thoughts? Human rights.
Now I'm listening on another immigration.
Okay, on the human rights issue? What would have been your vote if you were in the room? On the issue of Xinjiang, you mentioned the voting on, yeah, on Xinjiang, if it was a...
I think it was about the voting. It was just a letter by some Muslim country.
Yeah, but it was decided that China has sovereignty to decide what happened.
Exactly, yeah.
And it should not be submitted as a genocide.
Yes, it's interesting because they are Muslim countries, mm-hmm. and the genocide, if you want to call it like this, is being done by Muslims on Muslims.
So when we talk about human rights in China, it's a key issue. Hardly ever about our labor issues, because this is just a key issue. About whether they will export those standards or not, and how China will then redefine the
Technically, I mean, I know we're disturbing, but it's technically not a genocide because there's an element of financial incentive in it. Because they are selling the organs of those who are executed. And once you have financial incentive, it doesn't match the standards of the genocide.
So what would be
the
I'm not familiar with those terms.
There was a committee led by a British lawyer, I think, and that was what they said. And they said, well, of course it's a genocide, but then again, no, because that's financial incentive. And since 2006, they have killed at least 500,000 prisoners in Xinjiang and sold their organs.
Organ trade?
Yeah, it's an organ trade.
I'm actually, my thesis topic was legal transplant, and I thought, you know, this was like, because the guy's heart transplant has been kicked out. Every time I do this, like, the whole organ transplant comes up. And I didn't even bother to look at the tip of the human organ. Look at the how the organ transplant is from China, they need to also legal transplant, because then they're waiting for the ordering laws and definitions. Or they're clarifying the parameters of genocide. Because the trading
of them, yeah, you have to change the parameters. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you got started, and I know that I didn't cover cyber sovereignty and legal funds, China's a lawmaker, but it's implied in almost everything that we do. The whole thing of Chinese law and investment in Africa, and what's the ultimate. You said it rightly that there's a balance between infrastructure and lawmaking or rulemaking. I think in the second lecture we'll talk about the benefits for African countries. Like, is it a win-win or is it a win-lose? Like, after you guys did, when you were working on your presentation, you should really like, what do you think you could in terms of win-win? Are we winning? Are we losing for this year or is it give or take? What's the balance? Of legal reforms and trading opportunities.
I think that it is a win-win, especially in terms of China. I think it's good to see we're trying to enact the labor law legislation and implement because we needed help from, or initially, we needed help from the other countries, but then we changed to China. Now it's helping the country because we're mostly under attack from cyber criminals and all that, and now that China has lended a helping hand, I feel like it is a win-win.
Why did the West not help? What do you think of the whole thing about the West?
Sorry, I was now busy with the cable. What was the question?
I mean, it keeps coming up that it's the West.
I mean, I've only started thinking about this yesterday. I think it should be done in a different way, but it probably is
actually considered the word first because they offered to help in that. But then when China said that, no, we are now taking lead in all this, you know, those core advancements, then we switched to China because we already had a relationship with them. So we thought, yeah, why not?
Do you guys also group things that China is capable of taking all of, or becoming the lead in standard making, rule making, in 2035? China is capable.
In 2025?
2035.
2035?
Yeah.
Maybe in 2035, yeah.
Good. You think that they are making the rule maker?
Yeah, I think they are. Like, they've already made such progress now. I mean, with regard to this 2025 plan and the 5-year plan, the goals they have set for themselves, they're achieving. So I think.
So you guys think?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that they had some problems economically in the past, like recently. So I think we have to see where that goes. But I mean, it's already like visible, like even in Europe. Huawei is the 5G, leading the 5G development, because I think, I don't even know why, but I guess it's because there are no Western companies that do it as good.
They're already on the
8G.
They're already developing for the 8G right now. So it's catching up with the 3.25 for any country. But when you said Germany does not want 5G, but there's no alternative at the moment for
5G.
I think for 5G.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Chinese are already on, like, I remember actually when they were doing 5G, I was still in China when Huawei was talking about 5G. And I'm like, we're on 3G, how are you having conversation about 5G? And they launched it at World Economic Forum, that was the same year. That's ridiculous. It's not, like, it doesn't exist. And in the space of a year, this is almost like the 3-4 and then we're on 5G. And now they're already having conversation about 8G. They're developing the 8G. So and basically leave Germans behind
once
that can
stay
catch up.
I think it's quite important that the countries are aware of the risks that come with it. Like China has control over all the 5G networks. Because if just 5G networks like rule the world in the future, and China has control over all of them, I mean, there are obviously some risks. I know that in Germany, they found like a strategy to still let Huawei lead the 5G development, but like they are partly cut out of areas where it's like where there's like sensitive data, and yeah, I think other countries should at least be aware, especially in Africa, or countries that are dependent on it, they should know.
For instance, I mean, we start with what about new information, and what do you guys think at the end of the research? China is a lawmaker, because everybody thinks China is not transparent, that has materials, there's not enough information to see the enough of that.
I mean, they don't say like openly what they really plan, like in terms of guess from what you presented, but I guess that from what data protection in general, and from the project, from what I think the country should do, I think maybe compared with law analysis, if you look at, because I campus also, not in Europe, but had a look at the GDPR, the European Data Protection Act, so if you take like everything out of something, so you have like your own script, my child, so you don't have like time constraints, you don't have like witnesses, you just have your own thing. And whatever you like to take, maybe you can also learn from other countries what has worked and what hasn't worked. And obviously, China continues to be the case of now. I mean, COVID pushed it back a little, but I think the recovering quickly. And I mean, it's just coming to China. In a way, in Europe, nothing works without Chinese parts.
As you guys were curious, actually, if you had to look at the difference between debt trap and tech trap,
So
So if we look at it realistically, it's just not realistic that all the goals are always reached. It's just propaganda. So
all
the goals are always reached. It's just realistic. All the COVID numbers that China published 2 years ago, it's unbelievable. It's just not within the realm of possibility. So we don't know what's actually happening, but we do know that it's not happening the way they tell us. So
what do we do then?
So probably their projections are also completely outlandish. And
with Salvador, when you look at the export and you do a bit of research, you can always rely on empirical evidence and studies, especially in Africa when you're being infected. Is Tipo online? Tipo, is she? Because look what's happening in Zimbabwe.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I couldn't find my
Okay, can you tell us what, because she can tell you what she sees and what she experiences in that country, so how China is
going to be what's the Novi Russian experience then with regards to China is that they are actually taking over most of the mines. And I mentioned on Monday that we have the 49% for foreign investment of 51%, but mostly because most of the people that own the mines are government officials, so they really don't feel the impact. And my parents leave, there is one of the biggest dams, but what they actually have done is that you really feel sorry for the environment and for every problem that lives in the dam, because it's actually low and it's actually caused a concern for the environmentalists as well. And at some point they were building a fuel station or close to the dam, which is also for an environmental issue.
I was speaking more to lawmaking and law reform in Zimbabwe. The internet law of Zimbabwe now mirrors the Chinese internet law.
Yes, it does. Internet still remains very expensive in Zimbabwe, and it's actually regulated by the government. You don't have, if you want to speak against this, and then they will, you won't have access to maybe Facebook or Twitter. It's kind of blocked.
That's a very Chinese culture.
It is indeed. I think Zimbabwe is actually more to the Chinese way of gathering than what is actually stated in our constitution.
So, what do you guys think about African agencies of China's lawmakers? I like that you need a lot of examples of focus.
They do have like some leverage, I guess they say like they condition their natural resources, for example. Like I think this would be essential to have an exchange now or to part of them equal with each other. So I think like the African countries underestimate their possible agency. Maybe because they're afraid of not being collected.
So with regards to maybe China's interest, right? It's focused on sectors which China wishes to focus on and ensure that they are the improve those areas. So I want to know what do you think that those areas concerns with regards to those areas because
I think it is to some extent a whole story, but Canada is doing, it's progressing or is focused on this main industries because I think they're already more advanced in them, and their goal is to just achieve everything and all that. But in Africa, I think it is a tough story, but I don't know. I think we should thank you guys, we should take a break. We'll take a 10-minute break for time.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go to his office and start ideas.
I threaten him.
No, I'm going to ask him nicely.
Threaten him.
No, I won't.
First,
I'll ask him nicely. Sebo, I need help. I need serious help. Yes, how are you? I'm good. I just realized now, I thought our research task was due on Friday. And so the guys are saying it was due last day Friday. Yeah. So, I just confused matters because there's an extension we got, but it was for another course. But it's because Badir is taking both those courses. So I thought it was, but I'm going to ask him. But I need you to give me your material from commercial transactions from 2020. I just want to see your research task, what you guys had, okay. And your, your script.
Okay, no problem. I'll check. I don't know if my score exactly, but I mean, it's fine just for you to get it, right?
Yeah. Because I just want to think maybe there are common, common themes that I'll be like, okay, let's structure it like this.
Okay.
So I realized, when this class was starting, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to ask him for, I'm just going to ask him to submit on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem, Kenji.
Thank you. I'll remind you.
Yeah, but just speak with him. I think
It shouldn't
be. You should be able to, at least, if you explain to him this, what you just, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because if you keep on receiving a lot of emails and it's from one lecture and you hear one from an extension, he can easily get confused.
With the other,
Let's say you were supposed to check, but if you never announced it in class,
And the thing is, we had blog last week for the other course was up for arbitration. So at least you saw me in class every day.
Yeah.
It's not like I was banking.
Yeah.
I really thought it was on Friday.
Yeah.
So I was chilling here just doing my work.
Yeah.
And then the guys were like, duh, it was last week Friday.
Yeah.
I know. So,
sorry about that,
It's fine.
Okay, now I would just remind me.
I'll remind you this evening.
I usually forget after this lecture, I usually get to the
And you just.
I'm just looking for either way to do my research.
It's a lot.
I'll be okay.
I will be.
On
the 7th.
Yeah, it's in person, right?
Yeah.
I was supposed to invigilate her.
Oh, is it?
Thank God she hasn't messaged me yet. Anyways, I have to invigilate for that tour on that day, so I don't think I'll be able to.
But why could they require invigilation for us? Because they said they can bring all materials.
Yeah, you still require invigilation because you're not supposed to speak with each other.
Oh, okay, I guess.
You're not supposed to be opening your
internet.
WhatsApp and
I get you. I'll send you an email because I'm just what just happened? I found out But I'll go to him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and tell him. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I see you.
Later. Oh, I spoke with Pop yesterday. She was she read my thing. She said she likes it. Bye. She's good. Yeah. And then, so she was like to me, I should speak with, I think it's Mikosi.
Oh, Mikosi is the right thing to teach me right now.
My peer is Mikosi.
Is Mikosi not she's been out of the PhD?
I think she says to me, she just got, she just became a senior lecturer.
Yeah.
And so, there are more requirements from the university. So she's helping Kobe with that.
Yeah.
But she's like, maybe I'm a speaker, but she's like, but
to know who Mikosi can speak to, right?
No, she said, I can work with Mikosi. But she's like, Mikosi is not doing what I want.
Exactly.
Yeah, she said to me, she's like, she likes the thing that I gave her, but she's like, she's not here.
Remember that.
You did say.
Because I know, she's really trying to ensure that most of us in the center already will be able to do a lot of
lecturing and all. And
yeah.
So it was great to be. Yeah. Even next year, she told all of them, oh, she's supervising. You contact me only when there's something to edge. She's only supposed to be doing administrative duties.
Okay.
If you have to write records of recommendations and all the stuff. So I don't understand. I expected that.
Yes, yeah. And I guess, your church really, you really have, because I feel like I had sort of managed my expectations already.
Yeah. So you see what I was telling you, right?
It happens, yes. It really does.
Because then it doesn't make you feel like, it doesn't keep it in the left, sort of, I sort of impression that you're coming up to just get an idea.
Yes.
Help them know that, okay, this person actually wants
has applied themselves. Yes.
So it's a good thing. Even if you don't hear that, it's gone positive. I think it was more positive than her not letting you know at all.
And just saying, I'm sorry, I can't help. Yeah. So Julia said, I'm a teacher. Julia said, I'm a teacher.
Professional. Everybody is a professional.
Yeah.
Getting hold of him and making him, for me, that guy responded to me only after I accepted.
You did say.
So I sent him a message before I sent him because I was handling the African computer future thing and he told us that I felt like it's literally.
Yeah.
And he sent me an email like after 1 month. I don't have a problem with that. I feel like.
Yeah, I get you.
So even if I'm in my mind, like, no, I won't be able to. I'm just like, when you send me that email, like, after 4 months. After how many months you're sending me this, right? It's fine. Like, it's literally used to the type of response I'll be
getting. Yeah. No, I'll
But you'll get some and just get some pushing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Just, for now, I think you just need to get someone who will be willing to put their name in as main supervisor. And then you get a full supervisor. Because main supervisor is for the administrative part. So when your application goes in, if you have a supervisor on your list, they accept you first before they accept it.
Yes.
Before they help other people. And I think they rarely help other people because most lecturers are, they have a lot of people they are dealing with.
Yeah, but okay, cool. Thank you. We'll see.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, don't forget.
Yes, I will. Sure.
Thank you. Greenfield investment, brownfield investment, mergers and acquisitions, meaning that there's nothing new when we're looking at it from the China perspective. For this discussion, we will focus on China-Africa foreign direct investment. We'll start with the trade and investment area. If we look at figure 2, which is on our right, which shows the net, it indicates trade investment on the net index, on national transfer, all the sections which are the start, which is Nigeria, Zimbabwe, and also Djibouti. And then as we look into the 25 dots, on the red dots, those are the 25 countries where Chinese government has invested in form of foreign direct. Breaking it down into industries, there are five industries where you'll find out that China is investing. We look into construction, mining, manufacturing, financial services, and others. This shows the spend that has gone through in the past 5 years. If we look into the FDI, you'll notice that construction based on the FDI is the one that is more popular because of the BRI investment in the African region. However, it has been proven that manufacturing is the next opportunity in terms of FDI. And the reason that China government has focused construction because of the lack of quality infrastructure in the African region. We have seen where they have built the railway line in Kenya, railway line project, and also there's been a project where they have refurbished the port of Lamu, which is between the Southern Sudan and Ethiopia, which is the most connecting area to many other African countries or in terms of the area. Economists have indicated that manufacturing has a lot of potential that is estimated to the value of $700 billion by 2030. And most of the businesses in China have started relocating to the African region and services that have been more popular when it comes to the textile, automotive, apparel, and also appliances. To enable that, and also to make this opportunity to move faster, we have looked into policy reform. What are the hindrances in terms of doing all of this within the limited time in order to achieve the 2030 opportunity? There are policies and practices that need to be reformed to avoid this foreign direct investment. It's policies that look into labor services, where you find out long labor disputes with unions and bargaining councils. They tend to have an impact because in other countries, you find out that if people are going to be looking into that, they feel they rather not get into a foreign direct investment in that particular country. And also, the environmental policies need to be reformed as well, because if you look into red tape that comes into when you're looking for, when you want some permits, like if you're in mining, there are lots of permits that you need to get before you can mine in that particular area, especially in the African region. The fiscal regime, where you find out that in areas like special economic zones, taxation, incentives, trade policies, and also individual and company taxes are very crucial. And that is some of the policy reform that people need to really look into. Lastly, the other policies, just to mention one, localization, that covers BEE as one of the important requirements for this requirement. I'll hand over to my colleague to take over.
So I will guide you through the general factors influencing the regulation by African countries. So the governments are tasked with the regulation of economic interests within their borders, so aimed at aligning the interests of industry with those of a wider society. So regulation is defined here as the government is directly prescribing or proscribing what the privateer can or cannot do through the provision of incentives or disincentives to prevent the private sector from contradicting or undermining the public interest. So in addition to formulation of such rules, the extent and nature of enforcement mechanisms constitute the key element of private sector regulating. Thereby, the quality of governance is a crucial factor. And this can be illustrated by the World Governance Indicators, which are the indexes to measure the quality of governance and therefore the capability to regulate Chinese FDI. So one, the first aspect is voice and accountability, which looks at the level which citizens within a country are able to select their government, in addition to free media, freedom to association and expression. So studies show that this factor is significant for the relationship between African host country and China's OFDI stock, meaning an increase in a country's voice and accountability leads to an increased inflow of Chinese FDI. So as a second index, we have political stability and the absence of violence. And those factors give an insight into the possibility that the government will be overthrown or destabilized by illegal or violent means, such as political violence and terrorism. So the result of the study shows that political stability and the absence of violence have significant and negative relationships with China's OFDI in Africa. This suggests that countries with greater political instability are more attractive to Chinese investors, which is surprising, but the reason for this negative effect is probably a political one, and that those political unstable African countries and China may have a bilateral political agreement that help reduce the risk of Chinese investments. The third point, there's governance effectiveness, which measures the public service quality, civil service quality, and the level of independence from political pressures, quality of policy formulation, and its implementation and commitment of these policies. So this would be an interesting factor, but this study haven't been able to show the relationship between government effectiveness and China's FDI flow. So there, in this particular index, there has to be made much more research than today. That's why next we have to take a look at the regulatory quality, which measures the perception of the ability of the government to devise and implement sound policies and regulations that encourage private sector growth. The regulatory quality has a significant negative influence on inward FDI flow from China. This means that lower regulatory quality does not hinder China's OFDI because of Chinese investors' psych distance. Chinese investors prefer to invest in countries with a similar cultural, economic, and political environment. According to the data of the World Bank in 2021, China's regulatory quality index was a place of 109 from 192 countries, which is close to the average held by all African countries. So the fifth factor is the rule of law. The rule of law signifies the degree which the agents have confidence in and abide by the rules of society, and in particular the quality of contract enforcement, the policy in the courts, and the police in the courts, and in addition to the probability of crime and violence. And the study gives the impression that when choosing investment destination in countries in Africa, Chinese investors do not pay too much attention to the rule of law rating in host countries. And last but not least, the control of corruption, which indicates the level of which public power is exercised to private gain, including both petty and grand forms of corruption, as well as the capture of the state by elites and private interests. So the results show that the control of corruption does not have a significant relationship with Chinese investments. Scholars assume maybe that China's own usually high level of corruption for a developed country, so China may be a developed country, makes Chinese investors sympathetic to other countries with corrupt governments, or at least means that the prospect of corruption is not frightening. So then we take a look at institutional voids. Unfortunately, institutional voids being the rule rather than the exception for Africa, implying the lack of basic regulatory or judicial institutions that allow the economic activity to flourish, as well as voids that range from a weak political structure and a closed labor market to controlled media and underdeveloped social systems that encumber arm's length transactions. It is evident that the African continent has responded in their own way to this negative tag by instituting regulatory reforms, opening up their countries, sometimes along with blocks or trade blocks here in Africa. However, those institutional voids do not hinder Chinese FDI. Scholars assume that there are two possible reasons why most studies found a negative correlation between FDI and the quality of institutions. So Chinese multinational corporations, called MNCs, may prefer to invest in autocratic countries where they can exploit the system. They further note that because of the breakdown in institutional quality, autocratic governments may be in a better position to provide more generous incentive packages and offer protection for labor unions for such MNCs. The second reason that accounts for the negative association between institutions and the flow of FDI in the existence of natural resources. Investments in the extractive and natural resource sector are mostly capital intensive and with long conception periods. This means that benefits may be realized in the long run. Therefore, foreign investors are on the whole pleased to operate in areas where they can be consistently of government. The scholars suggest that most MNCs prefer the presence of weak institutional structures in host countries. In this case, they have time to reap their investments because these weak institutions, MNCs, can get their way through bribery. And lastly, the bedrock of most institutional arrangements can be traced to a country's legal system. Therefore, where there's a strong legal system, institutional quality abounds. Because most of the FDI comes onto the continent are of the extractive and infrastructural nature, which Puma showed before, most of such investments thrive on the back of weak institutions because of the long gestation period of such investments. It is thus essential that African countries begin to reduce their reliance of resource FDI and focus on manufacturing and service-based FDIs if they are improved the quality of their institutions. So the map on the right side shows the local institutional quality in all the districts that the scholar has data on, in all the countries participating in the Afrobarometer. So this map shows that much of the continental variation is country specific. Countries such as Zimbabwe, Zambia, Nigeria have relatively low local institutional quality, while Botswana, Mozambique, and Tanzania have higher levels. Therefore, I hand over to Matthias, who will take a look. Let's look to Zambia as a bad example for regulating China's FDI.
Yeah, as Yannick has mentioned, we treat Zambia as a country where the regulation of Chinese FDI not working very well. In Zambia, good example is for Chinese FDI copper mining. There are mainly three important authorities. The first is the Ministry of Mines and Mineral Development, who are responsible for the mining sector in Zambia. The second is the Environmental Council of Zambia, ECZ, who assess and monitor the environmental impact. And the third is the Zambia Revenue Authority, ZRA, who collect and verify the taxes and duties payable by mines. The first problem is the institutional regulation. The effectiveness of the mining sector regulation is hampered by a shortage of skilled inspectors and the resources required to physically inspect the sprawling mining sector, with the MSD in particular suffering from underfunding. They also have the problem that they pay very low and uncompetitive salaries, but that makes it in general difficult to hire and retain skilled inspectors. The situation is exacerbated by an industry-wide skills shortage that is driven by the rapid growth of the mining investments in Zambia. Engineers at the ECZ and the MSD are routinely poached by foreign mining companies, with an inspector at MSD referring to his organization as a training ground. A mining engineer at the Ministry of Mines recalls how he attempted to recruit, I think, around 18 geologists in 2007, but was unable to recruit a single one. There's also the problem of outdated legislation that provides no incentive for companies to comply. For example, they have the right to impose on pipelines, but there are only less than $100. The MSD also recognized the weak deterrence of science. There's very few capacity in government to validate what mining companies actually pay and what they should pay. The next problem is the environmental regulation. The Zambian Environmental Act require companies to report their performance on environmental standards to the ECZ on a semi-annual basis. However, the comprehensive self-reporting is hampered by the fact that there are no common standards and reporting formats for the various investors. That leads to the next problem. The environmental standards that apply to privatized mining companies were set in negotiation with incoming investors in very different firms. The last problem is, in general, centralized control. The parliamentary oversight is often limited, and the ministries may be filled with loyalists. And the presidency is the dominant arena for decision making, relegating the regular ministerial structures to strategic roles. The permanent secretary of the Ministry of Mines has direct insight into the finances and the performance of foreign mining companies, as he has sat on the board privatized copper mines, which open up opportunities for companies that so desire to engage with high-level policymakers and to personal and informal relationships. Thus, there's because of the clause in the Environmental Act, the environmental regulation in Zambia allows the Minister of Environment to overrule ECZ decisions, which is another example for the centralized control.
And Article 4 of this Act provides that the purpose of this Act is to affirm South African sovereignty as a sovereign right to regulate investment in the public interest of South African people. And so moving along to our first example, we have the financing sector where China or the Bank of the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China announced that it has purchased 20% shares of South African Standard Bank. And so this is one of the largest Chinese investments overseas on the African continent thus far. And in addition to finance, there are two main areas in which Chinese have invested in South Africa, and this is the assembly of electronic goods and in mining. So assembly of electronic goods, we start with the company of Hisense. Hisense entered the market of South Africa in 1997. And also I think it's important to note that most of these investments that come to South Africa are greenfield investments. So that means that they come and they set up that plant in South Africa, which opens a lot of advantages in economic growth, employment opportunities for South Africans. And so Hisense produces, we know they produce telephones, fridge, microwave, a lot of, they produce a lot of appliances. And we also have the TE offices in South Africa. It's basically a telecommunications equipment company that is from China, and it has also set up a plant in South Africa, and it has various offices in South Africa. And we also have the DEE Group that has purchased shares, 71% shares in Huawei Technology Africa, in Africa. And so Huawei has also set up its plant in Africa, and it has therefore started working in South Africa. And so lastly, we have the mining sector, and we have Stainless Steel that bought 60% stake. And what they do is they mine chrome in South Africa. And so if we move to our second slide, we framed our presentation in such a way that while we discuss the issues that these companies face, it will kind of reflect as to how South Africa is able to regulate for direct investment. And the first issue is that of non-compliance with labor standards and the fact that employees get half minimum wages. And this was a problem that was encountered by Hisense company. And more than that, there's new teeth of internship programs. These programs are provided or are run by the South African government with the aim of giving unemployed training. And what normally happens is once these interns are employed, they're just taken to work instead of being trained. And you find that, obviously, if you didn't sign an employment contract, you don't have an employment right. And even the salary that you get, you can't really complain about it because your contract doesn't allow you to. And so this is basically what they do, and they take advantage. And together with that, we have non-compliance with employment equity policy. And this problem is aside. Huawei. So what happened was there was an audit in 2020 where they found that Huawei has been employing 90% foreign nationals and yet is allowed to employ only 40%, and so it contradicted the employment equity policy. And after this audit, Huawei was therefore taken to court, but they did try to plead that the matter should be resolved amicably, and such things are still in progress because of the recent matter. And lastly, we have the issue of satisfying the market demands on the quality, the liability, and affordability. So this happened in a company that's called Best Automotive Works, which is FAW. It's a Chinese company that manufactures trucks and these big cars. And so what occurred is that they had an issue related to quality of that car. And the quality control of that car. And basically the excuse that they gave was that normally Chinese customers don't have an issue sacrificing quality for a cheaper price, but in South Africa they encountered an issue. And so this issue was brought before the South African automotive industry,
UNAIDS code of conduct that regulates the quality of the goods that is supposed to be in South Africa. And so by so doing, this company has to rebrand and they have to fix the issue. So going back to the matter of the audit and other issues, because they're labor related, the department that was responsible for sorting those issues out is the Department of Employment and Labor in South Africa. And also, I think a regulatory measure that was taken in that instance was part of importing. And this brings us to the end of our presentation. And these are our references.
I have a question. It's specifically I think it's called a very good job. But I want to just find out regarding the two slides 3 and 5 specifically about where the data comes from and how it was extracted and just where the data comes from. I know Yannick spoke specifically in figures. I mean, Yannick kind of spoke about figure 3, but I just want to clarify that.
Both to your references, I think Yannick will be able to extract from that answer. 3 and 5 about the institutional measures.
Those are Genesian scholars called Gottfried Bostian and all, which were referenced here. They conducted a study, and that's where we got the study from, or the results of the study.
Was that an empirical study? Because I think some of the stuff you mentioned came from much earlier papers. So you mentioned resource infrastructure. I think that most of the information came from something in the 80s.
Yes, they did a study from the beginning of 2000 until 2016. So they tried to come up with a relationship between those factors and China's FDI.
I've seen a few studies that actually reference or that met the same similar relations that you mentioned.
You
specifically wanted about the statistics.
Yes, I just wanted to know where they came from specifically, because they don't name it specifically, but it was figure 3 specifically as where they come from.
Does that satisfy your question?
Yes, no, it's fine. Yeah, because of the fact that they have been, I've seen them before. I just wanted to know how they came up about them.
Yeah, I've also seen, I thought it was just something a little bit different from what you've got to say. About some instability and anybody else online? You just say Zimbabwe has good institutional. I beg to differ on Zimbabwe having poor institutional quality. Can you give evidence?
Yes, Tabuko?
Yeah, can you contradict the study or Yannick?
Yes, Yannick mentioned something. You made reference
to, I think it's two countries, I'm not sure which one and which one, that can actually have food.
Good or bad?
I think you can show...
That has bad.
You mentioned Zimbabwe.
I mentioned Zimbabwe and Zambia and Nigeria as bad examples. So you can see on the study, which was highlighted in a darker tone, that there had been a study for Afrobarometer and like scholars from Norway, they reviewed the data, and so they colored the map, and like institutions, enterprises, and private people, they have been surveyed, and so the results of the study are shown on this map, and as you can see, it's Zimbabwe and not dark highlighted. So I don't know. I've never been to Zimbabwe. It's just this is what the study says.
It means is don't take everything that you get from a study. So you've got to validate the source of information. And I think Afrobarometer comes up. It's the only one that does that empirical study on the ground. And it's just really good. They're really good at what they do. I've been with Zimbabwe in almost like 6 years now. I think Mugabe was still alive and was so president for a long time. Maybe a lot has changed. People, why do you think the study, the Afrobarometer people were wrong?
I wouldn't say they were wrong, but wouldn't that be old statistics that maybe Yannick referred to? Because now with the recent investment in Zimbabwe, there has been a lot of research by also Zimbabweans doing it. And I, for one, having taken this course, it is also something that actually made me come to it. There is a lot happening back home, and people speaking out about it as well.
So you're saying Zimbabwe has institutionally and significantly improved recently?
Yes, indeed. Because a long way back, we wouldn't say anything. We'll be just happy that as long as there is an investment coming through. But now, I think people actually